Also, gambling, I'm against gambling, for it's against the royal commandment. And that is to honor the Lord and to honor your neighbor as yourself. Gambling is not neighborly. It is never do unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you. It is to destroy the other that you may take all.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. And I trust the Lord will bless today as we let the Bible speak. We begin with our reading here in Matthew 12, verse 46. While he, the Lord Jesus, yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The Lord had called his disciples. The key text here, of course, is verse 50, where the Lord Jesus said that whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The Lord Jesus had been busy preaching when he was interrupted. Interruptions were nothing new to him. Continually the Lord was harassed by Pharisees and scribes who sought to hinder the proclamation of the gospel. But this was a family interruption. We don't know the nature of this urgency, but the Lord was not at all pleased that while he was talking forth the gospel, that his mother and brothers wanted to bend his ear about something. He looked upon this as a conflict of his task and duty. Caught in the middle of this, he sided with fulfilling his duty and set his family aside. His response was loud and clear. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The Lord Jesus had taught that we are to put God first and family relations next. He taught that we are to love family less than doing God's will. That we need be, we are to forsake father and mother or children to obey the will of God in our lives. The Lord had called his disciples to make that very sacrifice. Some had left their boats and nets and family businesses to be followers of the Son of God. Now the Lord demonstrated that he too would make that sacrifice by refusing to put his family before his ministry of the gospel. This is one of the hardest tests of our faithful service to the Lord. We can handle the interruptions of strangers and enemies, but the claims of our flesh and blood relations can tear us right down the middle. This is a test to see if we will truly love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength before all others. It is to deny the flesh and the social interests of this life and give ourselves to faithful service to the Lord. This is the test that missionaries go through who must leave their home and family circles to reach lost souls for Christ. But they must obey the call of God and go. They must put the voice of the Lord before the friendship of the closest family relations. Perhaps there is such a claim upon you today to deny the friendships of this world and obey the voice of the Lord. Remember this text as you ponder your decision. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is a high honor. The way to be known as the friend of the Lord is to do the Father's will. That is to be first and foremost. That is the acid test of all your relations. Without putting God's will first and doing that will, you cannot be a disciple whether you have earthly relations or no. The pathway is clear. Obey the voice of God. Do the will of the Father. Let's pray today that God will indeed give us the grace to do the Father's perfect will. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for these words that are recorded, this incident of our Lord Jesus refusing the interruption of His mother and brothers. And while He was ministering the gospel, He gave Himself to that ministry rather than to family issues. O God, we confess that so often we are torn with these things, and it would be so easy to put family first and the will of God second. We pray that Thou wilt make us true disciples, willing for the will of God and willing to set those other things aside. We pray that we might know Thy voice and that we might obey Thee. We pray for that wisdom, that balance, discernment, to do God's will in spite of every other claim upon our time and interests. We pray for missionaries. We pray for those that have the call of God upon their lives to go forth with the gospel, that Thou wilt give them the grace to say goodbye to home, family, friends, and to go forth with the gracious message of the gospel. And grant, Lord, that we will make those sacrifices that are necessary to be good disciples of the Lord Jesus. Grant, Lord, Thou wilt speak today. Bless Thy people. Let the hearing of Thy word be a means of building up faith, giving grace to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. We trust that our devotional has been a blessing. Today we're continuing to look at Paul at Athens, chapter 17 in the book of Acts, and we are discussing the things that disturbed him as he entered into the city. He looked around, he saw the ungodliness, the immorality, the idolatry. As we look at our cities, we look at the things that disturb the Christian. And today we're going to be looking at the false religions that are exploding in North America with excessive funding from various quarters. And we want to take a look at that today. Now, these are things that disturb us as we think of the battle that we have to fight for the truth and for Christianity and the difficulty we have in getting people in to hear the gospel. And this is the challenge. We need to be earnest, industrious, and busy, lest we are swallowed up by the false religions of this world. And we do invite you to come and join with us here at the Free Presbyterian Church, that we might put the message of the gospel before men. Bring along your friends, your neighbors, sinners that need the Lord, and give us the great privilege of preaching the gospel to them. This is Ian Gollaher, thanking you for joining with us here today. Stay tuned as we open our Bibles at Acts 17, and we look at the things that disturb the Christian as we look at our cities.
Another trend we have in this country are donations to various institutions to promote false religions. Harvard has just received its second largest donation ever to establish a new department for Muslim Christian studies, supported by a donor from Kuwait. I believe the figure was $27 billion. and the students, those who enroll or those who take an interest in it, or all students perhaps, will have some exposure to the influence of Islamic Muslim studies at Harvard University that was built by Christians. And here in UBC, on a smaller scale, $4 million was donated to commence a department of Buddhist studies. And at BCIT, there was a decision made to introduce Asian cultural studies to help businessmen in business studies how to deal with Asian business techniques. Now, that's less direct, it's more indirect, and perhaps it is in relation to the new trends and the growing trade relation there is between this country and Asia. But nevertheless, we see these influences coming upon this land, and the Christian value is being set aside. Now, if you look at verse 18 in Acts 17, you'll find that when Paul, being stirred in his heart, and he began to speak about these things, you'll notice in verse 18 that the philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" You'll notice there was ridicule. The word babbler in the original language means seed picker. It means a nobody, a man of no learning. He's only picking up a few thoughts and a few ideas here and there. He knows nothing. He's a babbler. And so they despise him. And that's the trend we see in many institutions and many organizations today. Christian values despised. That ought to stir us up. That ought to awaken us and realize it's time that God visited this nation in grace and in power. A third thing, as I look around our city, that would stir up the heart of a Christian is the godless education system, especially here in British Columbia. In this age, more and more emphasis is placed upon education. Almost all young people are expected to certainly go through kindergarten through grade 12. And a big majority of young people are expected to go on to university. The pressure is on educate, educate, educate. The pressure is on parents. The pressure is on young people. The pressure is that if you don't attain these levels of education, you won't have much of a career. And with that pressure in this province in particular, it is a godless education that is offered in this society. The BC Teachers Federation is the epitome of a brand of anti-Christianity that prevents any effort to teach the values of Christianity. That has been their goal for a number of years, and they have succeeded in banishing any effort in the classroom, any remnant of Christianity. I want to tell you about a lady that actually used to attend this church. She was a teacher in a public school, in an elementary school. She's now in glory. She's with the Lord, so I can tell you about her freely. I remember talking with her, and she would tell me of the years of her educating children, teaching children, and when she was in elementary classes, she would start the day with Bible stories. She was a public school teacher, and she would start the day with Bible stories. And this would make a big impression upon the children in the class. They would settle down. There would be an atmosphere of I'll call it morality. There was an understanding. Here is a woman that stands for something. And many of those children went home and told their parents the Bible stories that they were hearing. And some of those parents came to her with difficulties they were having with children in the home. And they greatly respected her. But as the years went on, it became more and more difficult for her to have those Bible stories in the class. And she had to scale it back and become very careful in what she said in the classroom. She never gave up, by the way, until the day she retired. She never gave up. But it became very difficult for her. Today, in British Columbia, I would be surprised if there are any public teachers who have the liberty to read directly out of the Bible or Bible stories, not even at lunch hour, not even with a permission slip from parents to do so during lunch hour. Now, I do know that in Fredericton, the Reverend Tony Dodurno, he and his wife and a couple of other helpers go into a public school there. I'm not sure if it's lunchtime or after school. I think it's lunchtime. And they get permission from parents. They sign up parents to allow their children to attend their Bible club. And it's in between class period. They don't do it during class period. But in between somewhere, they have these kids come, and they're getting 70, 80 children to their Bible club right on the premises of the public school during the school day, somewhere. I'm not exactly sure of the time. You couldn't do that in British Columbia. There would be a protest. Because there's an agenda to get the Bible out of the public school. This ought to move our hearts. And in some ways, we as Christians have given up the battle and said, well, that battle was lost 10 years ago, and we're never going to get it back. When I was 11 years old, I went to high school from the elementary school. The Gideons presented to everybody moving into that first year in high school a New Testament and Psalms Bible. New Testament and Psalms. I remember reading that from time to time. Now, I must confess that those years there wasn't much Bible reading in our home. It was a very rare thing. But I can remember reading that little New Testament. And I remember, to my surprise, my dad, he could quote Psalm 1 because he learned it in Sunday school as a boy. Now, we didn't read the Bible on a regular basis in our home. But in those days, Bible reading in school was a normal thing. Today, we have a generation of young people that are growing up. They don't know the Bible nor the God of the Bible. This ought to stir our hearts as it stirred Paul's heart when he went into the city of Athens and he witnessed these things. We need to be moved by these things rather than just surrender and say, well, that's the way it is here and what can we do about it? When you look at verse 17, you'll notice what Paul did do about it. And I'm really going to preach about this next time. But let's just take a look briefly at what he did do about it. Therefore, you'll notice now he has a purpose. Therefore, because he was so moved, he was so grieved in his heart, he was so disturbed by what he witnessed in the city of Athens, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now, the word disputed, in the Greek word, it is really dialogued. It's not that he went in with a negative, nasty attitude and argued and debated in a negative way. He dialogued. Paul had a winning spirit. In fact, I'm reading a book on this about Paul at Athens, how he had the ability to debate with the Athenians and use the Socratic line of oratory and debate. Because he knew it. He was educated in that style himself. And so Paul didn't go in there as a nasty person disputing. He was dialoguing. And this was his way of countering the superstition that was all around him. It was one-to-one in the synagogue, in the market, with the devout persons. Comes right down to personal work. And we need to do more of it. We need to have the gift of God to dialogue with men the message of the gospel. The great need of this church, and any church that's going to grow with the message of the gospel, is that every person in the church goes out dialoguing with men the message of the gospel. Friends, neighbors, or deliberately selecting an area and says, there's 100 houses, I'm going to make that my mission. I'm going to take them literature, I'm going to knock their doors, I'm going to ask them for prayer requests, I'm going to do anything it takes to make my face known in that area, and I'm going to give them the gospel, I'm going to go back again, and by God's grace, by prayer, I'm going to seek to be a witness. Now, that's the hard way. But you'll notice here from this example of Paul, it is the biblical way. And there's many of us that shy away from it. There's many of us that say, well, let's just hang the church sign up. Let's do something with mass media. Let's do something with blanketing the area with literature. Get on radio, do all those things, and wait for the people to come. That's not what Paul did. He dialogued in the synagogue, in the marketplace. Not only with common people, but with the devout people. And then you'll find later in this chapter that he also went to Mars Hill, which was the place where the judges sat. And they listened to his message. And he preached Christ and the resurrection. Here is the lesson for us tonight. First of all, we need to be stirred in our hearts. If you think tonight that Vancouver is all right the way it is, if you think that men are living and dying the way they are, it's okay, well then, we don't need the gospel. But if we are moved with the superstition, the darkness that's around us, and that somebody needs to do something, then it's us that we need to start praying about, and that God may use us to reach men with the gospel. We need to pray for the skill to do it. We need to pray for the wisdom to do it. We need to pray for the opportunities to open. We need to pray that God may use us. It's going to take a real ministry of prayer on its own. I trust tonight that you can look around this city and be like Paul and say, I'm stirred to the point where I must do something to spread the gospel.
Thank you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.